This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day for you. We start off with a Perdua. It still expects to sell some 200,000 cars this year, despite the on-year drop in third quarter sales, and also what they see as a challenging market overall.
All right, so the number to keep in mind here, 202,000 cars. That's Perodua's full-year sales target for this year, 2017. Now, a big part of that hinges on the possible launch of a new model this quarter. So apparently, according to some local auto blogs, the all-new third generation Myvi set to be launched by year end. So going back to that number,
I think Han there trying to make a bid for being the voice, of the new launch.
The all new third generation. All right. Anyway, so going back to the headline number, right? 202,000.
Keep your day job, Han.
I know, right? So back to business, 202,000 though, that number is still about 5,000 fewer than they sold last year, and also more than 10,000 fewer cars than what they sold back in 2015.
So taking a closer look at the on-year drop for third quarter sales, apparently that's due to a high base effect of sorts. Remember in July 2016, Perodua launched the Beza, and hence the sales between July and September this year fell 3% compared to same period last year to below 52,000.
I guess the question could be asked, apa beza?
You stick to your day job, buddy.
I'm holding on to my day job tenaciously. Like, you know, sunk my talents into
that. Oh my gosh.
Okay, now what is, let's talk about the market challenges as Perdua sees them.
All right. So according to Perodua President and CEO, Dato' Aminah Rashid Saleh, it's the lack of approvals when it comes to higher purchase loans. Apparently, Perodua's conversion rate from booking to registration, that has fallen by 10 to 20 percentage points down to less than 50%. 48%, that's the number that was quoted in
today's meeting. So people want to buy, but they register, and then they find that the financing companies are not going to give them as much money as they thought they would, and so then they withdraw from the purchase.
That's one of several reasons given. Another one might be that wait-and-see approach, given the set-to-be-launched all-new third generation, whatever it might be. Yeah.
Actually, higher purchase loans is quite there. There's quite a high NPL rate, NPLs there. That's a segment that's quite high. Yeah. So perhaps that's also a reason why banks are not approving, because maybe the buyers are not eligible to buy the cars, which should be the case, right?
Right. I mean, household debt, has been up. I think at about 88% or so of GDP. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
So September vehicle sales dropped by almost 21% compared to August this year. This is numbers from the Malaysian Automotive Association, and they say that the cost of a more stringent vetting process in higher purchase loan approvals is one of the reasons, right? And the other reason, according to the MAA, is because September was a shorter working month. And they expect sales to have picked up this month.
Yeah, and so just to set the context for this year, though, looking at the first 9 months of 2017, overall, still, vehicle sales grew by almost 2%, 1.8% to be exact, compared to the same period in 2016. Over 425,000 new vehicles sold between January and September this year.
So because Budget 2018 is still on everybody's lips, what about items in the budget that might benefit automakers like Perodua?
Yeah, so according to MIDF research, they expect Perodua and also Proton, both to benefit from that 5,000 ringgit grant for taxi drivers to purchase new vehicles. Now, that's based on the assumption, though, that that 5,000 ringgit grant, that will be used as a 10% down payment on a car, which implies the car price to be at about 50,000 ringgit, falling very nicely within Perodua's and also Proton's price range.
But, I mean, is the taxi population, right, is that a growing segment of, car purchases? I mean, and are we talking about the, our red and white taxis? Or are we talking about you know, the Ubers and Grabs of the world.
Oh, yeah, ride-hailing as well?
Yeah, well, so generally speaking, it's the sedans, right? These will be best suited for these kind of either ride-hailing or taxi services. But nevertheless, this is seen as an incentive for, you know, taxi drivers or, you know, maybe even those who work for ride-hailing apps. But although I think the budget specifically mentions taxi drivers, for them to then get that new car, given the grant and, you know, given the price points, looks like Purodua and Proton, they are set to benefit.
Also benefiting, because is well noted that, you know, Malaysian motorists who use the Batu Tiga, Sungai Rasa tolls in Selangor, Bukit Kayu Hitam in Kedah, and Eastern Dispersal Link in Johor will all benefit from the abolishment of tolls.
Yeah, so Plus and MRCB are going to benefit from that as well. MRCB is the concessionaire and owner of the EDL, Eastern Dispersal Link in Johor, and Plus owns and operates the other three. So how will they be compensated? According to Second Finance Minister Dato' Sri Johari Abdul Ghani, the government is looking at perhaps extending the tenure for existing tolls.
Do we know why these toll roads in particular were singled out for this particular policy initiative? I mean, why this as opposed to the other tolls?
Yeah, like maybe the Damansara one here near the office or the Panchala Link one.
Well, you should have put that suggestion to the Prime Minister, you know, on that Ask Budget website or something. But yeah, good question there. I'm not too sure. But nevertheless, I think it is in line with, you know, the government's past pledges to, you know, at least, try to alleviate the cost of living, and tolls has been this huge topic as well. So
I think on Pakatan's platform as well, right?
Yeah, and with Pakatan was across the board.
Right. Now looking at tourism and the tourist sector, what did the budget have for that sector?
Well, the government has allocated $500 million to promote the tourism industry in Budget 2018. This is an increase from the $400 million ringgit allocated in Budget 2017. So some of the initiatives announced was Visit Malaysia Year 2020. And there's also a higher allocation was granted for SME Tourism Fund and Tourism Development Fund worth $2 billion ringgit and $1 billion ringgit respectively. And there's also expansion of e-visa regional hub and tax incentives for investments in a new 4-star, 5-star hotels that's been extended 2 years, and tax incentives for tour operating companies extended to 31st December 2020.
It's interesting, some somewhat mischievous voice on the social media sphere noted that, you know, Vision 2020 has become Visit Malaysia Year 2020.
Yeah. And then we've got that new TN50 to look forward to, right?
We're kind of pushing back the horizon, as all horizons should be. They should recede even as you approach it.
Are you talking about your hairline there? All right, so according to MIDF, essentially this higher allocation for the tourism sector, that's going to be good. And there are some other local entities that are set to benefit as well. So you got to look at, say, the likes of MAHB, that's Malaysia Airports. They have already recorded a 4.7 on-year growth in passenger traffic for the month of September alone. That month, they handled over 10 million people. So, you know, with these incentives under Budget 2018, you know, with more tourism activity going on, they are set to benefit. Of course, we got to look at the likes of Air Asia X as well.
Well, we have to remember there's also a target to hit 36 million tourist arrivals by 2020. And there's also this 168 billion ringgit in revenue target by 2020. We contrast that to last year, 2016, we saw tourist arrivals of 26.76 million people. So there's a 10 million addition to that target by 2020 of arrivals. And receipts for 2016 was 82.1 billion ringgit. So you can see that they are hoping to bump that up, because tourism has become quite an income stream for our government as well.
Yeah, especially in light of the tourism tax that was just passed a few months ago, right?
Speaking of income streams, for the man in the street, the question of higher disposable incomes as a result of initiatives in Budget 2018. Now, what is that going to do? Is it going to help the tourism sector or is it not? Is it going to, in fact, help retail, you know, the sector as well? Or Malaysians, going to be much more cautious in the coming year?
Well, the idea is that hopefully both the retail and also the tourism sector will get a boost from the policies that are targeted at consumption. Now, just to set the context real quick, okay, consumption covers over half of Malaysia's entire economy, 53.5% of total GDP. So, you know, we look at measures, for example, those 7 million recipients of BRIM, they will continue to get those payments of up to 1,200 ringgit each. It's going to cost taxpayers, the government, about 6.8 billion ringgit.
Just one off, or how many BRIM payments do we get?
There are several across the year. Yeah. Now, also the civil servants, they will get a couple of payments up to 1,500 ringgit next year, 1,000 ringgit to kick off 2018 with a bang, then another 500 ringgit Hari Raya, Duit Raya thing. On top of that, there's also the reduction in individual income taxes. And once we talk about taxes, we got to hand it over to our residential tax nerd. Choice go.
Well, the reduction in individual income tax rates is for chargeable income of 20,000 ringgit to 70,000 ringgit. You'll see
per annum.
Yes, yeah, for the whole year. For the year of assessment.
It's not like you lah per month. Okay, Shira, thank you very much.
Seriously.
Per annum, yes. So that is the rate.
So what is it you're earning just, a month if you're only getting, you know, 20,000 a year?
But this is chargeable income. So it's income after you minus everything out, like your EPF allocation, your rebates for your kids or your books or everything else. Then that's the income that you're supposed to calculate your taxes on. So they say that this will increase disposable income between 300 ringgit to 1,000 ringgit, while 261,000 people do not have to pay taxes. So we're looking at, TA said that this might impact consumer stocks as well. So the stocks we're looking at, that they say that maybe beneficiaries of this is like Aeon, Padini, Johor Tin, Hub Sing, FNN, QL Resources and Nestle. And of course, there's Chuti Chuti Malaysia. You know?
But real quick though, the caveat here is this. Recall the 8% EPF contribution that we have enjoyed over the last 2 years or so, right? So that is going to be normalized back to 11%. So that could offset some of the impact when it comes to the reduction in income taxes. Yeah.
Yeah. Also fascinating coming out of the grill conversation that as the economy, global economy changes and people are getting incomes in, you know, in the digital economy, that governments might have to shift away from income taxes to consumption tax more heavily. And because that also has impact on the Pakatan's own attitude towards the GST, and that's something to be discussed at some later point. We're coming up to the news and we'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market and more analysis for you. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.